he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Last verse. For I say unto you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that you'd open our eyes to the beauty of your law, both its limit and its purpose. Not only the letter of it, but the spirit of it. That we would understand that the law has a job to do that you gave it to do, but the gospel is the fulfillment or the completion or the perfection of that law. And we thank you, Lord, that there's great confusion on these things because you said that that was necessary, that whenever your word goes forth, men will be confused. There'll be arguments. There'll be discussions so that the wise among us may be known. So that we thank you, Lord God, that you will give us wisdom this morning to discern exactly the relationship between the law and the gospel. The natural law, the civil law, the political law, the legal law. Also, the spiritual law. All the laws of all the nations. We thank you, Lord, that you will show us the relationship between the spiritual things and the secular things in law. But also the power of the gospel, so that we would be not confused that many who say, well, you have the gospel, you don't need to do the law. And others would say, oh no, you have to do the law. Free us from all such foolishness so that we would understand exactly the relationship. We give you the praise, Lord God, in Jesus' holy name, and everyone said, amen. Probably the greatest teaching for Martin Luther in the 16th century was the exact relationship between law and gospel. So the law is simple. Anything on my left hand, anything, if I were God, anything that tells me what to do, that's a law. Anything that tells me what my duty is, what my job is, what my purpose is, what I ought to do, love my wife, love God, whatever, those are laws. On the other hand, on the right side of God, God has the right at any time he wants to, not to abrogate the law, because it's his law, and it expresses his very nature. So the law is always good. The law is always good. When it's a bad law, it's not a law at all. When it's a law from God, it's good. So human laws should all agree with at all times, not only in this world, but in the world to come. All human laws should agree with God's law, whether it's the natural law or the revealed law or whatever kind of law it is. And they should never abrogate anything God has said. Now they can and they do. No problem, because God always wins. His right hand is his valiant hand. With the right hand of God, at any time he wants, he can use his right hand with power. So he's not really nervous about someone messing up on his left side. How many know that God always wins? He always wins. It doesn't matter what man intends to do. Man is under a law, and God will see to it that he never gets outside the boundaries of that law. And when he does, he could punish him immediately, he could punish him later, or he could forgive him. He has all kinds of options that he can do, but he will always be just. However, on his right side, he reserves to himself what's called a prerogative. And as the king, as the ruler, as the judge, as the supreme lawmaker, as the supreme judge, as the supreme Lord of lords and King of kings, at any time he wants, he could show mercy. So here's his law, what you must do, and here's his gospel, what God has done for you, or will yet do. So God has the right to be merciful to whomever he wants to be merciful to. Now, does that offend anybody? Does that offend anybody? It does. I'm just telling you, it offends all kinds of people. Let's say there was a man who had a group of workers, and he had a vineyard, and he said, come into the vineyard and I'll pay you so much. And the vineyards worked the whole day. And at the last hour of the day, he saw some other men standing around idle and he had still some work to be done. So he invited them in and said, come on in and I'll pay you too. So after the work was all done, the owner of the vineyard sat down in a chair. Each man came forward to get his pay. To the men that had worked the full day, he gave them their pay. Let's assume it was a denarius, some kind of full day's wage. They were all paid a denarius. Then the men that had come the last hour, he decided to give them a denarius, same pay as the others. How many know that's unjust? It's not unjust to God, who wanted to be merciful to the last group. It's unjust to the group that had worked the heat of the day, and their complaint was, that's not right. They were angry. How many know that God has a right to do what he wants with what he has? And if he wants to make one agreement with one group and say, will you work for so much per hour, and will you work for another? And then at the last minute, here's a group that just walked in and they just, lazy bums, had stood around all day. The others had worked the heat of the day, and they come at the last hour, you know, do hardly a lick of work, and then God gives them the same pay. Is it wrong or right? How many can tell you can have a little problem with the guy that did that? Especially if you were the one that worked the heat of the day. You were ticked. You were mad. You were angry. You were bitter at that guy. It's not right. We did all of that, and look, they come and just take over. That happens all the time. Is anyone aware of that? That happens all the time in the world. I imagine the American Indians are ticked off that, you know, we came and they had done this and that and so on and so forth. We just come, took it over, bumped them out, and moved on. Played with all their toys, and they had nothing left. Now they just, you know, shoot off guns at night and drink whiskey, and that's about it. They don't have a future, and this used to be their place. Then I imagine a lot of other things are happening in our country that make people really ticked off. Hey, this was our country. We made it. We built it. It's our religion and our ideas and everything. Now these other clowns are coming along just giving the thing away, throwing it down the drain. I tell you, tick you off. Is anybody here ticked? Now, forget man. I'm talking about God. Does God have the right to be kind and generous to whomsoever he will? At any time he wants. It seemeth to us extremely unfair that one would do a lot of work and get practically nothing, and another would get the same and hadn't done a zip, hadn't done hardly anything. That seemed wrong. I mean, boy, that's my life story. I have been blessed from the word go, and yet not really. I mean, I had all kinds of problems and troubles and so on, worse than probably anyone here. Nevertheless, I've always been blessed. Everything, I've always come up smelling like roses. I've done the most God-awful things. I mean, I should have been dead a long time ago. Should be in prison for sure. And here I am, blessed as all get out and still happy. Not only that, I have a pension. It's amazing to me. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Isn't it amazing? I could see my sister could be quite mad, because she had all kinds of hell also, and, you know, she always came out on the other side. And I think I'd be mad if I were her. How come Jim always gets everything? He always goes to the best schools, and, you know, he's got this and that and so on and so forth. Look at me. So my sister had a miserable life. Same family. How can that happen? That some are blessed and some are not. And I didn't do anything right. I'm telling you, I never did. I lied, cheated, stole. I did all kinds of things, just selfish, nasty. Never thought about others, never cared about others. Didn't care about Peggy when we got married, just abused her, didn't care. Isn't that mean? Now, how could someone like that go to heaven and get the same pay as someone who had worked the heat of the day and been decent and nice? Take Peggy, for example. What a wonderful person she is. I mean, she only did two sins by the time she met me. After that, it was all downhill. But, you know, up until then, she'd only done two sins. One, you was 4, and the other, you were 11 or 10. One of the sins I have is exaggerating, getting things wrong. But, you know, she doesn't have that. She knows even what socks I was wearing on a certain day. You know, I can't remember anything. But here I'm going to heaven, happy as all get out, because Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amazing. It's cheating. I mean, it's cheating. I know it. I'm cheating in this world, and I'm cheating in the next world. It's like I don't deserve anything good. I came in at the last second, the last minute, got in at a bargain rate somehow, and Pagan paid full price. She never lied. She never exaggerated. She never did anything wrong. She did everything right except for the two times. Well, since she got married to me, I've made her a little bit mad, so that's another sin added to her thing. But basically, you know, she's a nice girl. Now, do I deserve Peggy? Does she deserve me? How many think she does deserve me? Four people? Five. Peggy! Ha ha! Ha! Ha ha! Did you see that? Why? Because of God. Not because of Jim. But because of God. Not because of Jim. Because of God. Now, I want you to know you're all wrong. You're all wrong, dead wrong, when you think God doesn't have a right to just forgive somebody that's worthless, wicked, shallow, a scoundrel, hadn't worked a lick in his life, just came in last minute. God justifies the ungodly. Does that not offend you? I mean, let's pretend for a moment that you were godly. We're just pretending. Let's imagine you actually had been moral, and you hadn't lied and exaggerated and stuff like I did. You hadn't stolen. You hadn't done anything wrong. You had been a decent person. And then God comes along and he justifies someone who's ungodly. That would make you mad. How many here have a little bit of pride in the fact that, you know, I lived through life and I never had any fun? You know? Whereas Jim, who was such a liar and just shallow guy and so on, and he's had fun his whole time. He not only had fun in earth, he's going to now get heaven too. Isn't that, don't you feel like that's cheating? Don't you? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Peggy has wondered many times, how can you go to heaven when you've lived like hell? I mean, that has amazed her. And even though she intellectually understands the gospel, it's still, it'll just come right out of her as, I just wonder how you're going. I mean, if I did any of the things you did, I wouldn't think I would go. But, you know, you just seem to be happy as a lark. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a, my oh my, what a wonderful day. Isn't that awful? You're wrong. You see, God, under the law, I wouldn't get in. But under the gospel, I go in for free. Oh, not only that, you have to have failed at the law and been ungodly. Knowingly, consciously, not like, oh, it snuck up on me, I didn't know I sinned. I always knew when I sinned. It never snuck up on me. When I lied deliberately. When I conned people, I conned them knowingly. When I didn't love, you know, I was well aware of what I wasn't doing and was doing. But Jesus came along and offered me an offer that was so good, Mike, it was just unbelievable. He said, Jim, I love you. You're just so sweet and cute to me. I hadn't done anything right. I'd done everything wrong. I'd done everything wrong. And he just said, well, you know, under my gospel, you could get in for free. Woohoo! So let me get this straight, Jesus. If I live like hell all the way to heaven, you'd still let me in? I would. Isn't that funny? You don't think that's funny? I mean, that's the only way I could have gotten in. Because I'm so devious. And by the way, I'm just like you. But I'll get to that in a minute. I'm so devious, so treacherous, that I openly sinned. I wasn't like many of you who are liars. Who lied not only to God, but lied to yourself. Because your heart was not in all that nice stuff you did and didn't did. You see, because God's looking for a perfect heart, and I didn't have one. So under the law, I was guilty. But under the gospel, I believed on Jesus, that Jesus was good, died on the cross for me, forgave all my sins, so I wrote them up there. There's a list on the back, too, you can't see. He died for all my sins and said, Jim, My goodness suffices for you, and all you have to do, all I want you to do, is nothing. Okay. And then you just simply believe there's nothing more to do. In other words, your believing won't be another work. It'll just be believing that there's nothing more to do. Did you hear what I just said? So my believing wasn't like a good thing. Well, finally, he at least did something good. He believed Jesus was good. No, I didn't do that either. He just said he was good, and I just got in such a tight spot. One day I went, help. You know, I'll take that offer. What was that offer again? Now, I'm going to explain to you why there's a difference. Why would someone like me, who lived like hell, always selfish, always self-oriented, never cared about, not one whit, for another person, I can never psychologically remember ever doing anything good or knowing that I was good or thinking I was good. Never. I always knew what I did was wrong. Always did it. In fact, I would deliberately look for the wrong way and then do it. If everyone else went through this door over here, I'd look for a side door that no one went through. Why wait in line when you can go in the back door? I always found the shortest cut, the shortcut, the thing that was wrong. You're not supposed to go in there. You don't belong in there. But I would find a way to get in anyway. Isn't that awful? How many know that a person like that shouldn't get into heaven? The thief cometh, you know, and so on. Well, I'd climb over the wall or whatever. When we were kids, you know, you used to go to the theater and you had to pay. You go to the window and pay. But I found another way to go. You stand at the back exit, the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. You stand at the back exit, people would come out and I'd hold the door for them as they're coming out. And as soon as the last one came in, I just walked right in, you see. And I'd just sit down and no one ever noticed. It's cheaper. I don't know why. I don't know if you can figure that or not. That's very cheap. You didn't have to pay anything. And, you know, I did that through my whole life. That of course, is one of the smaller ones I did. But I just mentioned it to indicate, how can a person like that ever, why would God love a person like that? Well, there's the law, and God means it. He's serious about the law. Now, I want you to listen carefully because of the law. How many here have not been as bad as me? Just roughly speaking, just. I haven't told you all my sins, but believe me, they're magnified immensely. You can just look at Peggy and tell, oh, it wasn't that good. Just see how sweet she is. Then look at me. Now, how many have been better than I? Come on, you know it's a trick question, but Peggy, see? Peggy, see? Definitely, see? There's no hesitation right there. Definitely better than Jim. Pastor Jim, for the few sins that I've shown you, they're nothing compared to the ones I ain't showing you. So if I ever got caught, I wouldn't like be amazed that I was caught. I would only be amazed that I hadn't been caught earlier. It's like, well, you finally caught me, but I've been cheating for years. I've been lying for years. I've been exaggerating for years. But here God wanted to receive me into the kingdom and say, Jim, the kingdom is made for you. I've always loved you. Would you just take it? And I rejected it for 7 years. As soon as I heard the gospel, I remember I heard it, I thought, it's crazy, it's stupid, doesn't even make sense. I don't even agree to it. It is so stupid, I can't believe it. Like, you could live like hell and then still go to heaven, that's cheating. I mean, even though I knew that, I may be base and stupid and evil, but I'm not that stupid. That's a dumb offer. Now, let me get this straight now. You are going to let me in, even though I've broken all your laws. I never did any of the things you wanted me to do, and I did all the things you told me not to do. And then you want to let me in for free because I believe that Jesus didn't. Just because Jesus didn't do anything wrong, he did keep all the law. He did everything you wanted. He always pleased you. And because I believe he did that, you're going to let me in? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think the Christians even know this. I had never gone to church till I was 11. That's the first time I ever went. And I never was a good Christian. Even after I started going to church, it was just mechanical. It was just outward. It was just, I don't remember one message. I don't remember one sermon. I just remember hay rides and stuff like that. That's all I can remember. I had no religion. I had no morals. I had no anything decent. I just was out for me. I was just going to survive and then prosper at everyone else's expense. Y'all feel good toward me? Y'all like me, appreciate me, feel sorry for me even. No, everybody can hate me. It's easy, but I like it. I don't mind being hated. It's just nothing to me because I don't have a conscience. Even as a Christian, I still don't have a conscience about that. That's your problem. You're a liar. Now, why is it that you're a liar? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is the only one that ever pleased the Father because he had one advantage over every other person. His heart was in it. God saw that his heart, along with his hand and his mouth and everything else, was completely pure. Whereas every man that has ever lived on the face of the earth has failed God's law. Now listen carefully. You'll see all the scriptures I'm going to give you. And I could quote the whole Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, if all have sinned, all, the word all sounds like a kind of a inclusive word. Could include you and 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 you. Could include everybody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that's not a problem if you're great on a curve. But how many know there's no curve? That guy would have ruined it anyway. But there's no curve. That is the absolute and only standard. Jesus' perfection is what God intended when he gave the law. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. Okay? Now, because of that, because God has improved upon man's natural law, man's civil law, man's political law, which is rough speaking. You know, they don't put you in jail because you're not perfect. They just put you in jail if you break the actual laws. For example, I don't have to drive exactly at 55, but I'm not supposed to exceed it by too much. So it's kind of rough. So the world does not, like God, have perfection as its goal. They're just trying to prevent some really obvious injuries. So they make up laws that are supposed to make some men a little bit better and then punish the ones that are a little bit worse. That's about all. As most parents do. But God, however, is very different. So when God makes a law, God wants us to be perfect. So I'm going to write up here a picture of the law. The law has two tablets to it when Moses brought it down from the mountain. I'm going to put some clouds around it, a little lightning, to get the idea that God hates anything of the flesh. And I'm going to write here, be ye perfect. Same thing as saying, be exactly as me. I'm holy, you be holy. I am holy, so you be exactly, I mean exactly like me. Don't have one sin, not even one sin. So that's a little bit rough that here I'm not allowed under the law, under God's law. Now man's law is different, it's looser. But God's law, which says, this is my law, that in order to come upstairs to heaven someday, the only way you can get there is through perfection. Otherwise you can't get in. I'll block it. So I'll put here, no sin allowed. No sin. How many know that's the law? How many are aware that that's the law? Now, what I'm doing is I'm showing you something that your thinking is wrong. All your thinking is wrong. Even if you've heard this a million times, you still think that way. That, well, I still got to be good. Well, I still have to do good works. I know God wants me to do something good. I never think that. The reason I never think is because I never did it. I always did the wrong thing and enjoyed doing it, never felt guilty about it, never had a tinge of guilt. Never. Now, that may be hard for most of you to believe, but I didn't. And there's lots of people out there just like me. But at any rate, that doesn't occur to me, but for most people who are in church, they believe that they're better than the people that are not. I don't. I never have. I don't believe I'm better than you, but I am the pastor. My mom, even, she always thought, well, bless you, Jim, you're a man of the cloth. Well, that was neat that my mom thought that because I had cloth on me, I was a good person. Because she knows how, she didn't really know all the things I did. I just deceived my parents. I absolutely lived a double, triple life. They didn't even know about it. I could explain it. Doesn't matter. But I was able to completely deceive my parents, and they never knew all the bad stuff I did. I hid it. I not only was a sinner, I was a good hider of sin. I mean, it's important if you're going to sin, don't get caught. And I was such a good liar, such a fake, such a phony, that I was able to appear to be one thing and actually be another. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? A deceiver. I don't know. Is there anybody here who is a deceiver like me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay. We'll ask again later. Since I didn't get a very big group. you see, here's what the Bible says. God is truth, but all men are liars. Or it says, you know, only God doesn't lie. Everybody else is a liar. Isn't that amazing? Let God be true, but every man a liar. That's the Bible. Let God be true, but every man a liar. How many feel like you're a liar? Well, you are. Oh, good, I got about 15 that time. 20. I'm definitely doing better. Just quote these scriptures and it helps. Now, the law was given not that anyone would ever do it. I'm going to say it again because this is something new, and yet it's not. The law was never given for anyone to do it. The law was not given for anyone to do it, except him. It was written only for and exclusively for Jesus. So God never wanted you to keep the law. He gave the Ten Commandments, but he never wanted anyone to do it. Never, never, never. He would hate it if you had done it. In other words, if you had said, well, I did it. I remember my grandmother said that as she was dying. Well, Jim, I don't believe I broke all the commandments. That was her way of saying, maybe I can go to heaven because I only broke a few of them and I didn't break them all. That was neat. Grandmother had the right idea right there. Well, I know he had 10. I think I may have not broken all 10. That should get you in, Graham. The way people think is not what the Bible said. He said, no sin, sinless. And it was Jesus. So you can't say no one did it. He did it. He said, I always do what's pleased to my Father. Always is a big word. I always do what's pleased to my Father. He said to the Jewish people who were convicting him, show me one sin, just any sin, under Roman law, under Jewish law, under natural law, under any law. Who is it that would convict me of sin? Step forward. Nobody. Even Pilate found no crime in him. No one ever found anything wrong in Jesus. You blasphemer! And he gave good answer every time. No one could prove it. No one could actually make a case, so they just killed him anyway. They just didn't like him. Have you ever done that? You tried to come up with a reason for hating somebody, but then just ultimately you couldn't think of a good reason, but you just hated them anyway. Is anyone like me? That's the way I am. I'll use my mind and my reason to later justify what I always wanted to say anyway. I just wanted to do it, so I'll just justify it. Is anyone as clever as I am? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's good. It's good. I'm getting more and more. All right. Now, you will never know the good news unless you know the bad news. So my purpose right now, before I tell you about Martin Luther, is that Luther said, everybody who's a preacher of the gospel is not worth being one unless he knows the difference between law and gospel. And every sermon and every message that he ever teaches, you must teach both sides. In other words, you don't need a doctor unless you're sick. So you don't need the good news unless you know the bad news. So everything on this side of the ledger, we'll call this God's left side. So the left side of God as creator, in the Jewish language, it's Elohim. So Elohim is the creator God. And over on this side, all the law is, in Hebrew, it's Samol. Okay? So Samol, which is S E M O L. Samol. So that is his left side. That's his left hand. That's his left side over there. All the world is under that hand. The entire world is under that hand. So all mankind will be judged. The Creator is not only the lawgiver, the ruler, and the judge. So he is the ruler of the world, the king. He's the judge of the world. And he will judge according to his law. And here it is. Be ye perfect. Whatever law you come up with, it always means let earth be exactly like it is in heaven. As in heaven, so on earth. Always that's the law. So anything less than that, God won't receive. It has to be that. Now, if you teach this, it's bad news because the problem is that mankind is not holy. Mankind is sinful. Remember the tree thing in the garden when man was told, don't eat of the tree? And then he did. How many know that kind of ruined mankind? Eating of that tree when he said not to. He said, I don't want you to decide what good and evil is. I want to eat of this tree myself. Don't any human being ever try to figure out what good and evil is. For example, I paid these workers a full wage, and I paid this guy who hadn't done anything or very little, I paid him the same wage. Is that good or is that evil? According to the whole world, they would say what he just did was evil. Their view in the natural world is faciente quod in se est. That is as high as Roman law would ever go. Cicero said that, the great lawgiver of the Romans, who built his teaching on the Greeks, who built his teaching, and so on. So that says right there, faciente means doing what, quod, in se est, in you lies, or in you is. Doing whatever's in you. In other words, if you do the best you can, how can God judge you and criticize you? I'm not saying be perfect. See, the pagans don't believe in perfect. They just say, well, just do the best that's in you. How can you ask more of a child? How can you ask more of anybody? Well, I did the best I could. How many know that sounds good? I think that's good, but God decides, and He decides that's not good. What you think is good, what you do within yourself is not good. I'll decide what's good. Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair, God. Would you judge me? Yeah. No. I mean, I don't know. So here's human beings trying to figure out what's good. Do you know what's good? For example, let's say I was an abusive husband. Is that good? Everybody knows. Was that good? I was. I was abusive. Was I not abusive? Okay, I was abusive. I mean a monster. But anyway, let's say I was. Is that good? How many think that's good? Ah, see, nobody. How many think, thank you. I got one on my side. That's good. How many think I was evil and bad? Yeah, I mean, even natural man knows that. Y'all do, but you just didn't want to say it because you know I'm tricking you. But it's all right. Okay, so everybody knows that was bad. I mean, you just say it to people and you just see them. Ugh, I don't like him. I don't know why I'm real sensitive to that stuff. I can just pick that up right away when someone's judging. Is anyone sensitive like I am? Anyone? Yes, we all are. We kind of know when people don't like us. Now, we don't always know. Sometimes we find out years later. But usually, we're pretty quick on that. Hey, I sensed you didn't like me. So, anyway, Peggy was always judging me. I said, Peg, what are you doing? Well, I'm judging you because you're a scoundrel. Oh, well, I agree with that. I am. I never even denied it. I never said I wasn't. I was just open about it. Well, was that a virtue that I didn't deny it? Was I better because I didn't deny it and I said I was a scoundrel when I was a scoundrel? What if I had lied and said I'm not a scoundrel? Would then I be worse because I lied and said I wasn't a scoundrel when I really was a scoundrel? Was I a better person because I said, well, at least I said I was? Y'all, I know I'm tricking you, but it's good. Because I want us all to be in the same boat. Why? Because that's where God puts us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you hear the word all? That kind of includes everybody. If all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all in the same boat, according to God, and none of us have been perfect, according to God, then are we not all equal? Well, no, Pastor Jim, you were worse. Oh, yeah. That's what you say. But doesn't God have the right to say, no, all men under the law must perish. I'm going to destroy all mankind. Remember one time he did that. Remember, he only saved out Noah and his three boys and their three wives and his wife. So, eight of them. Put them on a little boat, killed off all the bad people, and now today we have a good world. Oh, what an experiment God made. I'll kill off all the wicked, all of those that are nasty, and I'll save only the good. And he did. But what happened? Well, how many know it was one of the boys? Or maybe it was one of the wives. After all, Eve did get us in trouble in the beginning. How many know that it was a woman who did that? Certainly not Adam. You're not having fun. No, it had nothing to do with wives or women or whatever. Noah could be all alone. It would still come out the same. Because man is man is man is man is man. Flesh is flesh is flesh is flesh is flesh. So God decided not to do that experiment anymore. Kind of like kill off the bad guys and keep the good guys, because there aren't any good guys. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you hear that? All. And then somebody said, well, there was one that wasn't. No, not one. You see, so God, does God have a right under his left hand to decide that everyone is worthless? Everyone is wicked. Does God have a right or not? I mean, after all, he set it up. Be perfect. Be exactly like me. If you're exactly like me, you're all right. Well, he had made us all. And he knew what numbskulls we'd be. He knew how wicked our heart would be. He knew how selfish we would all be. Even though he set up his law and said, don't be selfish. How many aren't selfish? You're always thinking of others. You know, that's why I married Peggy. Because Peggy was just like that. She never wanted to take care of herself. She always wanted to, you know, just serve others. She loved her parents and loved her neighbors and loved, you know, all the other kids and loved me and everything. So, you know, it was great being married to her because I could sin and she just had to forgive me because that's what Christians have to do. It was great. Peg, I've just done another one. Woohoo! Well, you don't seem real sincere. Nope. You see that? I never was sincere. I never even pretended like I was sincere. I just couldn't imagine why she wouldn't be radiantly happy being married to me, even though I did all kinds of things because I didn't do everything. Gosh, count all my good points. Where? I don't know. I didn't really care if I had any. I didn't even try. I never, and even to this day as a Christian, I don't try to love Peggy. I never make an effort. I don't love you. I'm not trying to make an effort. I'm just whatever I am. Faciente quod in se est. Just be what's in you. Now, what is in us? What's in a natural man is sin, 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 sin. Remember Jesus said it this way. Out of the heart cometh love, joy, peace. No. He said, out of the heart cometh murder, adultery, filthy, nasty. That's it. That was me. So I never disagreed. When I became a Christian, and I did, when I became a Christian, I immediately knew, well, everything in me is no good. That guy's the only good one. And if any good ever comes out of me, it'll have to be Jesus. Now, many of you grew up moral, religious, nice, trying your best, and therefore it's hard for you to believe that you're better, you know, you're not better than I am. But I know you're not. In fact, if you had just lived with me for a few minutes, I would bring out your bad side. Now I would. I would bring out your judgmental, critical, you know, side, and pretty soon it would be obvious that you were a phony. And I've actually been such a blessing to Peggy, now she's worse than I am. She is. Peggy. Well, okay, equal. 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 See, now she's at least equal. Do you see the beauty of that? Don't you see what a blessed husband I was after all? Do you all see that? Do you? Don't you see what a kindness it was on my part to just be me so that her worst side would come out And I brought out all of her sinfulness. I mean, she had only done two sins before she met me. And now she's got billions of them, all related to me. I would always ask her when she was mad, Peg, what are you mad for? Nothing, she would say. How many know that's a liar's answer? Nothing. I said, well, you seem unhappy. Oh, you do. You don't seem radiant. I mean, I just walked in. Oh, Lord Jim. You know, I tried to teach her to say, Lord Jim, but never picked up on that. I said, what are you unhappy because of something? I don't know, she would say. She said, now, she's sinning already. You see how she's already sinning? I'm making her come out. I said, well, is it Jesus? Did he do something wrong? Do you see how we're narrowing in on it? No, one Jesus. Okay, so you're not mad at Jesus. Thank God for that. You're mad at yourself? Well, you're not mad at me, are you? Peg, I'm not understanding your language. Are you mad at me again? Wasn't it me yesterday? Duff! And then 3 or 4 hours later, we would come out with all the sin that she was actually mad only at me. Well, that's what you're mad at? Your dad did that. You should be mad at him. I'm not the first person that ever brought that out, am I? You see what a good husband I was? Are you as good as I am? Very clever husband. Can you see how clever I am? Before it was all over, I had Peg beating herself up for having judged me and criticized me when she herself was angry and judgmental and critical. Don't you see how beautiful that was? Good argument. You see that? Because she's a Christian. She should, if she sees my sin, she should fast for me. Right? Do you all see that? Judy, you see that. I mean, if you see somebody else's sin, you're supposed to forgive them, right? You're not supposed to judge them. Judge not, lest you be judged. That was one of my favorite verses. Do you all see that? You're not seeing it because you're caught by the age. You're caught by the devil. You're caught by the lies in your own psyche, in your own upbringing, that you think man could be good. Man cannot be good. He can behave good, but he's a liar, a fake, a hypocrite, a phony. His heart is far from God. And God said, I hate it that this people is lukewarm and not cold or hot. What I want is for them to be totally for me or totally against me. I hate it that they pretend with their lips when I know their heart is far from me. How many know that God was mad at the Jewish people? The whole Old Testament is built on one thing after another, not of any goodness that Israel ever did, ever, 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 ever. You cannot find one thing that God ever commended of the people of Israel. Never. It's just one sin after another sin after another sin. Now, I want to tell you something. In every ancient culture, Egypt, Babylon, Hittite, I have read them. You cannot find one criticism ever of themselves. All their books never say, we the Egyptians lost the battle of Kadesh because we were overwhelmed by the enemy. You will never find an ancient book on that at all. If there were two people that fought each other, the Hittites and the Egyptians, they both write the story up. The Egyptians went home, painted their victory on their temples. The Hittites went home, painted their victory over the other jerk on their temples. Amazing. They never told on themselves, ever. They never said, we were weaklings and the other was powerful. Just don't write it down at all. Did you know that people are like that? They don't want to tell their bad things, but God wrote a whole book on the Jewish people and never once did they get it right. That's amazing to me. I mean, they're all apparently, and I'd be a good Jew because I've just been rotten to the core. The higher the standard, the more, I don't even want to, there's no contest. You want perfect? Oh, forget it. I'm a quick study. Did you see how fast I was? Oh, you want me to be perfect? Oh, forget it. I thought good meant just do the best you can. Or faciente quota inse est. I thought it was just kind of like do what in you lies. Because I always did what I thought was best. Did you know that I can justify almost anything I do and think and say? Hello? I can turn what Peggy did, judging me, into her sin instead of mine. And not only that, I could convince her that I was right. That was amazing, which is part of my treachery. Do you all see that? Are you all with it? Now again, I'm catching you all. I'm putting you all in a net because I'm going to show you something, that the Word of God is very clear. If you don't keep this law, you go straight to hell. Period. Under the law shall no man be justified. Period. I mean, that's awful. Here God creates all these people and then puts a law on them so tall, so big, so high, that no one can do it. Isn't that a mean God? Isn't everybody here mad at him? I mean, if you're going to judge good and evil, isn't that evil that God would make all these people and then put a law that says, be perfect just like me, and no, they couldn't do it? How many are mad at God for that? You're lying if you don't say you're mad at him. Everybody is mad at him for saying that. I'm not, because I'm exactly what he said, evil. No, I'm not going to lie about that, because I know it's the truth. I can lie to people, but I can't lie to God if he's God. Now, if he isn't God, and I never thought he was God, but now I do think he is God, why would I lie to him? Why would I exaggerate about any of my sins? Why not just let it be as it is? Now, this is why the Christian church today is in such a mess, because we're liars rather than the truth. And you will not grow, and you will not bear fruit, and love will not come forth. It'll just be legalism at best and despair at worst. That's all we've been able to produce in the Christian church, even though we had faith in Jesus. Even though we all admit, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Yeah, but do you know what he's saying here? He's saying, only God is good, and no man is good, ever was good, or ever shall be good. Are you aware of that? Are you all aware of that? You see, the law did its work on me, because the law said, be perfect, and I went, well, I'm not. That was just a two-minute thing for me, a two-second thing. Be perfect? Like what? Like me. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. So I'm out. I'm out. I don't qualify. And then on his right hand, he comes along and says, but Jim, if you despair of all your goodness, if you totally give up, if you totally surrender and confess to me that you are no good, I do. No. Just listen carefully. You talk too much. Just listen to me. I'm trying to get it down. If you confess that, I'll make you another offer. I'll still want you in my home just because I've always loved you. What? What? You love me? I don't even love me. If I met a person like me, I'd hate him. I'd cheat him. I just couldn't stand him. Have you ever met anyone like you? Yes, way in the back. And when you meet them, you despise them. You do judge them right away. You know, you're just like me, only you don't hide as well. You know, that's what's embarrassing. Sometimes someone will come out that's similar to you, but they don't cover themselves real well, and you're just kind of embarrassed by it. You know, at least cover yourself. Lie a little better. You give us all a bad name. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know you all do. But anyway, you're a little tired today of playing this game. But it's not a game. It's the truth. And the truth will set you free. No man has ever pleased God under the law. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. If you fall short, okay, short is real simple. Here I am. I'm on this side of the Grand Canyon. I jump all the way out into the middle of the Grand Canyon, and then I fall to the ground. That's called falling short. Here's the other bank over here. I'll see if I can make it. I don't know. I may have to run, but I got to make it, and I got to get past these big things here. So, whoa. I still didn't make it. No matter what I do, if I fall short, I fall short. If the goal is swim from Los Angeles to Hawaii, and I get out 3 miles and then drown, I failed the goal. But if another guy only swam out 300 feet and then drowned, I at least beat him. How many know that's not worth bragging about? Because the goal is what counts. And under the goal is be perfect as I am perfect. It's too high. Why did he do that? Why did God put such a high standard? Because after all, it's just himself. He's the standard. I know what's good and evil, and there's only one thing that's good, and it's me. Therefore, be just like me. I can't. How many have realized you cannot do it? For example, are you a good wife? No. Are you a good husband? No. Are you a good child? No. Are you a good anything? No. You can only fake it and lie. So at least I did mine openly. But most people hide it. They pretend. I knew when I became a pastor, I knew I would be the worst pastor God has ever had. How many believe that that's true? Thank you. So the worst, and I believe that. I believe, God, I feel sorry for you. You've picked me on your team, and now you're going to have to put up with me. Because you picked wrong. You should have overlooked me. You should have said, nah, I have anything better. But you picked me, and I bought into it. I went, I can't believe Christians aren't buying this stuff like hotcakes. This is good, where you can be a sinner, and he'll forgive you, and he only justifies the ungodly, and that's me. This thing is tailor-made for me. This is great. Even Peggy doesn't forgive me. But God does. I'm going with God. Anybody figure that out? That's the secret to life right there. Go with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. Okay, God, if I seek first your kingdom, will you then give me a wife that loves me as I am? Will you take care of that? In other words, if I don't maintain the relationship, if I don't do anything to fix it up, what if I don't fix it up? What if I'm just me? I mean, I was going to be anyway, but I just wanted to make sure he was in with the deal. Will you do everything, or if I don't do it, will you fix it up, or if you don't want to, leave it alone? You take care of all that? Here's what you said. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. Huh. Will she bring my slippers? Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. You did one time, didn't you? Yeah, you did. Remember when somebody bought them for me and you brought them over? Yeah, here, wear these. Y'all don't see it. You haven't got it. Has anyone caught on? Is anyone catching on? All right. Why would God humble you and decimate you after he created you? Everybody that's been created by God, everybody that's been created by God, here, I'm made by God, created by God. Now, everybody that's created by God is what? First of all, you declare it. There's the word of God, you declare it. Then you despair. In other words, all your self-confidence is destroyed. So because of that, was that God's will? Was that what God wanted? Ah, that's a great question. Where is the heart of God? Here's the heart of God. Was the law the heart of God? After all, it's a perfect picture of God. Is that his heart? Is his left hand his heart? Or is his left hand only the preparation for his heart? It's only preparation. Now, on the right hand over here is God justifies sinners or justifies the ungodly. Romans 4, 5. I'll write ungodly because it sounds worse than sinners. The word sinner doesn't sound powerful, but not being like God. Sinner, ungodly, wicked, wretched, shallow, hypocritical, liar. All of those kind of things. Now, God justifies, he will freely give, and it's free, a free gift of grace. Free gift of grace. Now, grace is not only mercy, but it's also power. So mercy, that's A, and power, that's B. So he'll not only forgive you for failing over here, but he'll also empower you with the Holy Spirit. So now, the Holy Spirit is given as a proof that he loves you and has forgiven you and was merciful to you and you believed. So your faith justifies you. No works at all. You hadn't done any works. Over here you were supposed to do works, but you didn't. And you confess over here, I repent that I never did any good works, and I believe that Jesus did all of his good works, but he didn't do them for himself, he did them all for me, and I took them, and the proof of that is now I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost so that I have the power to love and be just like God. The power to be holy. So, and you, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall have power to be my witnesses from one end of heaven to the other. Did you know that you need power in order to love your wife, your husband? Did you know you need power in order to witness to the lost? Did you know that you need power? You don't want to do it in your own strength because you're not able to know what right and wrong is, what good and evil is. Only God knows. Only God knows. So you have to have God continually empowering you, filling you, leading you, so that you know exactly what to do and what not to do. You can't go by an outward law. You can't go by an outward law because you'll misunderstand it. You'll change the law to make it weaker. When it says be perfect, you'll make it say do the best you can. But it doesn't, and it never will. Perfect means be exactly like God. So that's bigger than the pagan. The pagan just said do the best you can. He was wrong. And so that's why God sent Moses down to say, look, the world doesn't even know what I want. I want them to know what I want. Well, what is it you want? I want them to be perfect. Okay, well, tell it to us. We're Jewish. How many know that's an advantage right there? If you're Jewish, you not only are told what the law is, and nobody else has it, so you're kind of a little above them, because you're the only one in the whole world that knows the whole truth. Here's the law. Here's how it ought to be. Worship God like this. Love your neighbor like this. Ah, why didn't you say so? We didn't even know. So the whole world found out what God wanted to be exactly like the way God wanted it. Don't love me the way you want, love me the way I say. Don't love your neighbor the way you want, love me the way I say. And so Israel then became proud over the rest of the world because she was better than anybody else. How many know that to know better is not to do better? Just because you know what God wants doesn't mean you'll do what God wants. How many know that just because you know, you have the Bible. The Bible, for example, says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But that doesn't mean I'll do it just because I know it. I couldn't even say it to her. Peg, I love you just as Christ loved the church. Well, she'd say, well, I don't see the fruit. And she did used to say that. She doesn't now. But she did, she used to say that. Well, where's the fruit? I don't know, beats me. I think God does that part. I don't think I'd do anything. I wouldn't want to do it because I'd be legalistic about it. So let God do it. How many know that only God can do what God can do? You cannot do God's work. This is the Reformation. It made the modern world, and yet the modern world today doesn't even know this message. The Lutheran Church who preaches this doesn't even understand it. The Catholic Church never got into it. They may even be closer today than the Lutherans as to the theology that they got out of the Bible. The Catholic Church used to be into works over on this side of the ledger. Now today, many Roman Catholics are beginning to realize maybe Martin Luther wasn't a heretic. Maybe he was a separated brethren. Did you know that what happened? So the Catholic Church today has repented of their own obstinacy and wickedness and stubbornness to call one of their sons a heretic and an evil one. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? You're not even aware of that. That happened about 25 years ago or 30 years ago. Now, don't worry about it. It's still a little bit treacherous. But even so, to admit such a thing is amazing. That maybe we didn't get it right. But today the Lutheran Church doesn't admit it even. Because churches don't like to say they're wrong. Churches like to say, we're always right. Pastors don't like to say they're wrong. I don't think I'm unique, but I think I'm kind of rare. I would say if anything good came out of me, it'd be a miracle. And I would say miracles happen because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I believed in Jesus and really believed. Nobody here made me believe, but here's what happened. I knew what I was a scoundrel. But God began to, I went to seminary. Not to be religious. I went to seminary to paint bulletin covers. That was my whole goal. I used to be a shallow, I didn't read a book. I never read books and stuff. I was just a shallow person. Kind of like some people here. I was just completely shallow. Is anybody like that? Just kind of a shallow person? Thank you. I appreciate that. That takes a lot of pride to admit that you're not worth anything. Okay, so And I just was all I thought. I saw this guy that painted bulletin covers, and I thought he didn't do that good a job, and I could do that and get the pay he gets. So that was why I went to Yale, because I was a smart person, I knew, but I was smart because I lied a lot. I cheated. That's why I was so smart. Isn't that funny? I just cheated on everything. And since I had no conscience, I could do it easily. And other people could cheat, but then they always got caught and stuff, and I didn't. So when I went to Yale, I knew I didn't know anything. And God began to teach about Jesus and the gospel and so on and so forth. But Yale's a liberal school. How many of you know that Yale's a liberal school? I mean, it's very liberal. They don't even believe in God. And yet here they are, a seminary, training men to be men of God, but they don't even believe in him anymore. They redefine him. But because I was already a liberal, I was more liberal than the liberals were liberal. And to me, they were like conservative, because they had to refer to the Bible at least. Well, you can go through Yale and never read the Bible and be a pastor, but never have read the Bible, ever, not in one course, never. And so it was a good school to go to for me, because it was so broad. You know, if I had gone to a Lutheran school where I came from, and that was, by the way, when I was 11, remember I was 11? I only stayed a few years, got my hay rides done, and then here I was ready to go to college. That was all it meant to me, nothing. Now, what happened was God got a hold of me and terrorized me. And I began to have a conscience. I told you how it happened. One day he showed up at the window. I didn't believe in God and I didn't believe in voices, but God showed up at the window and spoke to me. I mean, he spoke out loud. And I didn't believe in any of that stuff. I still don't. I don't believe in that. But he did. I know he did. And he said this, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Went right through me that everything in this world is vain. And everything about me, he was only speaking to me, everything about you, Jim, is vain. And I thought the whole class heard it. I didn't know what it was, a loudspeaker or what. But somehow in an instant I knew nobody else has heard this thing. I'm the only one that's hearing this. I hope this isn't God, because I don't believe in him. And if I did, I'd be in big trouble because of all the sin I've done and all the shallowness and whatever. But it was God, and I knew it was God. And I remember walking out of that classroom like a zombie. And I walked out and I realized, I got to know if there's a God. So here's a guy going to Yale, smart as can be. I know I'm going to the top, to the top, to the top. I'm not just going to get 2 degrees or 3 degrees or 4 degrees. I'm going to get 7. I want more than any human being that's ever lived on the face of the earth. I want to be at the top of the top of the top. And all of a sudden, God comes, and he speaks in the window, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Well, there went my 7 degrees just like that. I mean, if it's all vanity, what am I doing? All I want to do is paint bulletin covers. All I'm trying to do is, I just want to be an artist and paint bulletin covers. That's my goal. Because that guy made $60,000 in the 19, whatever it was, 1960. That was good. That was good money. It was 4 or 5 times what my dad made. So that was good. I thought, hey, I could be doing pretty well just painting bulletin covers, and I'm a natural. I can do enamel work, lithography, sculpture, you know, painting, silk screening, art, you know, every kind. I don't care what kind it is. I'm good at it. I'm the top of the top. I know it. So what will I do? And I'm humble too about it. It's just a fact. Just a fact. I always get the best. And all of a sudden, I realized what God had just said struck me deep inside of me. And I didn't believe in God. Everyone else was throwing their religion away. I didn't have one. But God came to Yale, got on a ladder, second floor, knocked on the window, spoke straight to me, and I knew my life was over. I was going to have to find out if there was a God. It took me 7 years after that. 7 years. I went ahead and got 1 degree, another degree, and another degree. I already had 3 degrees now, earned degrees. I was going to get 2 PhDs at a time after that, which would be 4 years and then another 4 years. So that'd be 8 more years, and I'd have all 7 degrees, and then I'd be ahead of all the Jesuits. But that was the end of it right there. That day I knew God was saying, your life is over. You are a vain, shallow person. Well, of course I am. I know that. But it went into me. Is there anyone here who's Shane and Vain? You know, you're just shallow. And your whole life is vain. In other words, I just would make up my life, whatever. I just invented myself every few minutes. I'll lie here, I won't lie here. I'll swear here, I won't swear here. I'll cheat here, I won't cheat here. I knew exactly who to do it with and who not to do it with. I was so clever. But God cut through all that and said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Well, thank God it wasn't a scripture, it was a philosophical scripture. I was totally into philosophy. I already had 2 degrees in it. I always did double majors, so I already had a whole bunch of degrees anyway. I just hadn't declared them all. Now it's time for me to decide, what am I going to do with God? I don't even believe in Him. What am I going to do with Him? I went out and I sat on a hill and I thought, what do pastors do? I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. And the pastor drove up to the church, because right at Yale, right below it, was the church I was going to. And I saw the pastor walk out of his car, and I thought, what's he do? And I thought, oh, I know what he does. He writes a paper every week. It's a short one. It's only 20 minutes. Of course, I cheat. I do a little longer. That's because of how stubborn you are. But, you know, I think I could write a paper once a week. I have to do it now in class anyway. I will be a pastor. So I determined right then and there, I will serve God for the rest of my life as a pastor, away with the bulletin covers. No more bulletin covers. I didn't have to be an artist anymore. And that's how I got here. Isn't that powerful? You see the depth of that? Don't you all see the depth of that? That is deep. But even though I'm doing all this stuff, that's going to be the end. For the first time, I have a conscience now for some reason. I didn't make it. It just must have been there, but He awakened it. And I realize, wow, if there is a God, I've lived wrong. I've lived totally for myself. I've lived totally selfishly. I've treated Peggy horribly. I got to rethink this thing, because if I ever became a Christian, I'd probably have to love her. You see, I was thinking of the law. You have to. I can't. I'm just no good at being good for more than 3 or 4 seconds. That is, I can't fake it for too long and I get sick of it. So I'm going to have to sooner or later, like she would ask me, Jim, do you love me? And I'd think about that. Is she asking psychologically or ontologically or existentially or how? Because I was a learned person. And I knew she was probably after me being reliable or something. So I said, no. Then don't make me a god or some kind of reliable something. You're married to a jerk, an idiot, a bad guy. Just enjoy me the way I am. This is who I am. Enjoy me the way I am. No. She began to cry. And I realized, and this went on every 6 months, by the way. I realized, well, that was probably the wrong answer. I should have lied to her, but why should I lie if I'm married? I mean, after all, then I'd have to be a liar, and I already am a liar. So what's the difference? So I'm just going to tell her the truth. If she doesn't like it, too bad. That's the way I am. So I just told her, well, no, I don't. But let me ask you a question, Peggy. Do you love me, not loving you? She wouldn't answer. No, come on, just I told you, now your turn. Do you love me? Are you radiantly happy with me? And now, she was on the line, you see. Well, come on, Peg, do you love me? I mean, are you radiantly in love with me? 4 hours later, no. Ah! I waited for 4 hours to get that one. Then we're even. I don't love you, you don't love me. See, what's the problem? I'm not going to get a divorce. I think if, you know, you make a mistake, just live with it. No big deal at all. And the fact that you don't love me doesn't bother me one bit. I don't love you. You don't love me. We're even. See, isn't that exciting? She didn't think so. She felt bad that I'd deceived her and lied to her. Yeah, but you deceived me and lied to me. Remember when the minister said, till death us do part? Isn't that exciting? Y'all don't see this. Am I hitting too close? I haven't even got to the main message yet. I'm trying to get there. Now, the law was given that all men might see their sin, and God never gave the law that anyone should be justified by God. Before God, you are not right. Ever. Ever. From birth. In sin, David said, did my mother conceive me. I was conceived. That's not even born. That's 9 months earlier. In sin, did my mother conceive me. Isn't that amazing? So, What hope is there? I'll tell you why. I understand this totally. What God wants to do is use this one to break you so that he can build you up. First, he wants to break you, then he'll build you. He will not build you until you're broken. First, unless you come under the law in despair and completely give up, all your props are out, all your roots are out, all your strength is out, all your confidence is out, all your faith in anything, in you or in anyone else or in anything, is out. You'll only believe in that man right there. Therein is your righteousness. So now there's two kinds of righteousness. Mine, his. But only his is mine. He didn't do his for him. He did his for me, and I took it. And he counted it. I wasn't really righteous, but he counted it. He reckoned it. He said, I count that as righteous. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I wanted. I never wanted you to do the law. I just wanted you to believe that I did it for you. Okay. Do I have to be sincere? Do I have to be nice? And I didn't know the answer. I mean, I'll take it now, but I hope there's no strings attached to this. You're just going to take me as I am, just as I am, without one plea. I remember that we had that in my religion days. I remember that song. Just as I am, without one plea. Ah, there it is. So I can come just as I am. All I have to do is confess that I'm no good and you're all good. And you did your all good for me, and I'm taking it. And you're going to count that as righteous, and then I get to go to heaven, even though I may live like hell all the way to heaven. Whew. That's too much to be true. How many know that's too good to be true? How many know that's too good to be true? Yeah, that is due to a fact that I didn't read the whole Bible. I was a pagan. I didn't even know. But I got in at a bargain rate. I got in on the day where he just let me in for free. But I had never read the fine print. I didn't know anything about a Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything about, you know, the fact that he forgave me, but he also wanted to give me the Holy Spirit to change me. I didn't know about that part. So I wasn't aware that this third part over here, I wasn't even aware of that. I just knew this part right here. The Bible teaches two things. It teaches the law on this side and the gospel on this side and the cross in the middle. Jesus died for all my sins, so that's the law part. Then Jesus' blood lives on, and apparently I get washed in it by believing in it, and then I'm saved, and then all of a sudden the gift of the Holy Spirit comes. I ask for that. He gives that to me, and now I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In me, you can do all things. Wow, that was good news to me. That was good news to me. Only because of the way he got me to the death. I really did not want to give up my sin. I didn't want to quit sinning. I never wanted to stop sinning. I didn't want the consequences, of course, but I didn't want to quit. I might have said, oh, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean it. I just meant, I'm sorry that I got the consequences of my sin. What I really want to do is always be nasty and selfish and just a lazy person. Is anyone else lazy like I am? You know, and not only that, I don't want to even say, because I'll give you guys some clues. You know, I have all, you know, just a wretch. But Jesus was driving me to the point to realize if there is a God, you are guilty. And therefore, there's no hope for you. You live this life all in vain. It's worth nothing. And then you just perish. Or worse, something about burning and fire and all that. Grindy teeth or something. I thought, yeah, that doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound good. How many know an eternity? I mean, that's a long time. An eternity is a long, I didn't even know how long it was, but it sounded a lot longer than just, you know, a few years. Eternity. You'll be in the lake of fire. Gah. I hate it when a nurse just sticks a pin in your finger. Draw blood. Eee. I don't think I'd like that other thing where you're gnashing teeth all the time. I don't like that. I'm not a very strong person. Is anyone like me? Just kind of a weakling? I mean, I just can't take that stuff. I'm not big into suffering. I don't mind when other people do, but I don't like it when I do. Is there anyone like me? I mean, you know, it doesn't disturb me too much. Every once in a while, a little tear will come out of my eye, so I realize it must be something decent in me. But every once in a while, a tear will come on my eye. But within a few minutes, I want a cookie or something. You know, I said, do you have any cookies? You know, and I forgot about that person. It was just a movie or something anyway. I remember I did feel bad when my Iggy, you remember Iggy? We had a little, what was he? Anyway, it was a little, lizard thing. You know, those little bitty ones that are like chameleons or something. We had him in a little tank and, or whatever he was. And he died, and I felt bad for him because I have to get flies for him every day, real ones and spiders, stick them in there, and he'd eat them. And I guess I didn't feed him enough or something because one day he just kinked over. Now, I did, I felt bad about that. I buried him in the background with due respect. And it's sad, isn't it? You can see how shallow I am. But anyway, that I did that. Now, Jesus came along with this good news, and he said, Jim, here's what I want you to know. This righteousness that I'm giving you is passive to you. This is active over here. This is passive. You did this, and you deserved hell and death. I did this, and therefore you get heaven and life eternal. Wow, but I didn't do anything for it. Exactly. I didn't want you to help me. I didn't want you to do anything. I just wanted to give you a free gift. How many know that people in the world don't know this good news? This is good news. The churches aren't teaching this, that this is all passive. It's all passive. Everything over here is passive. You don't do anything here. And people hate that. Passive. Passive. This one's active. All right? So in other words, this is me doing the best I can, which is not perfect. So I have to die. Sin, death. Sin, death. Law of sin and death. Be perfect. I wasn't. You're dead. Okay. This one is passive because I have faith. That'll be active in love to prove it. And that's life. Wow, that's better than death. How many know that life is better than death? So, boy, there's no deal there. If life is better than death, I'll take it. So here I died under the law, to the law, by believing in Jesus who paid for it. Therefore, I can't pay for it because he already paid for it. I paid for Jim's sins. Wow. Father, you can't judge me now because Jesus died for me and he said he loved me and I believed it. So therefore, you said in the Bible, that you would count that as righteousness just because I believed. Okay, I'm a believer, wherever it is right here, faith. Okay, I believe in that. I'm not trying to believe in it. I just do. I really believe you're a good God that loves me in spite of the fact that I was naughty, bad, nasty, wicked, would have killed Jesus any time I saw him. But I thank God that you don't hold that against me, but Jesus justifies the ungodly. That's what preaching the law and preaching the gospel is all about. Now, I didn't share this good enough to trap you all, because some of you still feel that there's a little bit of goodness in you. I wish that I had the ability to make you all as myself so that you could realize, unfortunately, my story is your story. Nobody here is better than I am. Nobody. You see, God looks at us all the same. Isn't that pitiful? Isn't that pitiful? No. That's wonderful. Because Jesus Christ, if he doesn't love the worst of scoundrels, then he's a liar. He does not hate Pharaoh or Esau or Adolf Hitler or Mao Zedong or Jim Borchert. He loves everybody. It is not the will of God. He takes no pleasure in the death of any sinner. Isn't that amazing? See, everybody here has a natural ability to judge that. That's not right. You're wrong. You don't get to decide right and wrong. You can't eat of that tree. You don't know what you're talking about. And the reason that is wrong for you is because it's going to affect you. When you judge someone else, you yourself are judged. With the very same judgment you judge another, you will be judged. Don't do it. Don't do it. Jesus came along and said, I judge no man. I'm not judging. Not now as Savior. Later when I come back, I'll judge. When Jesus comes back someday very soon, I believe within a few years, but it doesn't matter. I believe in a few years, he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Perfect. First of all, by faith, but second of all, by works. In other words, listen to this now. I believe the works I was supposed to do over here, which I didn't do, which he did for me, he now is working in me to transform me, and even though it isn't finished, I believe these works which follow faith transform. I believe these works that follow faith accompany salvation. In other words, though I'm justified here, I'm sanctified and glorified here. This is what discipleship is all about. That God is discipling anyone that believes on Jesus. He doesn't disciple anybody over here. You have to be born again, and then, because you're born again, filled with the Spirit, and as you're filled with the Spirit, he drives you to your own death until there's no self left. There'll be no Jim. No Jim. No self. I want you to take up your cross, not mine. This is mine over here. Beholding me, you will be changed. You will now become not Jim loving Peg or Jim not loving Peg. You will now become Jesus in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In other words, churches that teach, well, if you have faith, you don't need works. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Just as I don't believe that you just do the best you can. No, I believe you have to be perfect, and I wasn't. And that killed me. And then he resurrected me through faith. And then he filled me with the Holy Spirit. And then he drove me to the crucifixion of my own flesh. So that the way I speak to my wife now is totally different than I used to speak to my wife in the flesh. Now it's by the power of the Spirit. But it isn't just words. It's also deeds. But it isn't just deeds. They are deeds that have been wrought in God. You remember he said that when you are of mine, you will come to the truth and you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free, because now the deeds that you do are not before the cross, but after. And they're done by God. Only God can do what God has asked man to do. The reason that he came was because you could not be perfect. He was your perfection. Right there is all your righteousness. It's now hid with God in Christ in heaven. No one can touch it. No one can take away my righteousness now. That's called donum totum. Totally pure, perfect. Before God right now, I stand totally pure and perfect. Even though in actual fact, I may have done many, many sins and still have done some. The change then that's taking place in me is not a work before God to save me. I'm already saved. But it's a work by God that proves I'm already saved. Those works that come out are not mine. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, the just shall live by faith. It isn't the just shall have faith. No, you're going to live by it. So that the words that come out of your mouth and the deeds that come from your mouth, these are all a work of God, not you. You get no credit. You don't need credit. Jesus already paid the full price. There's nothing more to be done. Everything that needs to be done has been done. All you're doing now is seeing what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. You're seeing it come to pass. This is a perfect marriage. Why? Because we're dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because this thing of believing on Jesus is a powerful thing. It's not just words. It's not just concepts. I believe that God wants this whole church to be a bride, that is, part of the bride, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, so that when he comes back, because I believe if a church has one spot in it, it'll be cast away. I believe if you have one spot in you, you'll be cast away. Well, how can we make it then, Pastor? Well, first of all, by faith. That's the first thing you want to appeal to. Second of all, because there will be some evidence, but not perfect. So the faith in Jesus was donum totum, But the faith in your ability to produce good works is donum partum. You only have some evidence. How many know that you still have some sin in your life? But that does not discourage me at all. Oh, it looks like you're still back on the other side. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. The law is at work in me. Don't think I came to destroy the law. I didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. It is being fulfilled. First of all, Jesus died for my old man. Second of all, he's now filling his life in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. Then that's something I can't take credit for because I didn't do it. He did it, and he's still doing it. My Father worketh, and I worketh. My Father worketh still, and I worketh. So as Jesus is working, so I'm working, because we're one. When he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. When he reigns, I reign. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. So now, you cannot grow on Sunday morning. This message cannot make you grow. All it can do is teach you the good news. I've taught you the good news by teaching you the bad news. The bad news is that God has a left hand, and he'll kill you with that left hand. The good news is he'll resurrect you, however, with the right hand if you believe. And then to prove it, he will fill you with the Holy Spirit. So you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not operate on Sunday morning to get you saved again. The Holy Spirit operates in churches, which are in the homes, in smaller groups, where all the sin is gotten out of your life. Not here in public where everybody's looking, but just among the faithful. That is the second understanding of what Luther called the Freiwilligkeitskirche. The Freiwilligkeitskirche is a free will, voluntary church, which no one makes you do. Nobody makes me love my wife. I couldn't do it by nature anyway. But I want to. I do it. I don't just want to. I'm doing it. I'm saying it. It's happening. It's real. Not because of me, but because of who's in me. Because when I believed in Jesus, I believed in a Jesus who didn't just die, but who rose again in order to reign on high and live through me, in me, to love her and you and the whole world. I hope I bless somebody today. I hope you understood the gospel. Maybe more clearly than ever before is apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the left side. But in me, you can do all things. Not some, not most, all. Now, you won't see it in this world. You still have to stick with your faith. So the middle one is the one that matters and counts. That's called imputed righteousness. The other two are actual righteousness, sanctification and glorification. Sanctification is your character, your soul. Glorification is your body, your works. Those two are at the last down there. But they follow faith, they don't precede it. So, you're not able to do works before Jesus, but only after Jesus. But you will do works. So, we're not antinomians, meaning against the law. Oh, we love the law. I love thy law. I now love the law. You cannot believe how much I love the law. Because the law is what prepared me for the gospel. If I had not been prepared and demolished by God, I wouldn't be fervent. I was a total pagan. I am now completely 100% in love with Jesus. And Peggy can tell you, for the last 30, 40 years, whatever it's been, I have been happy every moment of that time. I'm never depressed. I am never sad. There's no possibility. Why? Because I have my eyes on Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed. I'm not changing myself. I just look at him who doesn't change. When I look at him who doesn't change, I change. I'm looking at him who doesn't change, and I change. But I didn't make myself change. I didn't try to change. I wasn't even aware. I was just looking at him. If I would have looked at him and then looked at myself changing, I would have taken my eyes off of him. I'm not interested in what good works come forth. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if you have any. Well, I really don't care. You're not the judge. I don't care if you see any or don't see any. God has judged me and said, I love that boy. Oh, hoo-hoo, woo-hoo. Well, you sound cheap. Good. Maybe you don't get to decide. What if God likes me? What if he really, 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 really likes me? Isn't that funny? What if the master of the vineyard decides that he wants to show mercy to whomever he will? Do you begrudge him? Of course he can pay under the law. Here's what you didn't know about that parable. How much do you think those workers earned that day who worked the heat of the day? Zero. Why? Because God's standard is not just put in your time. It's do it exactly as my son does it. And therefore, they were paid zero at the end of the day. Nobody under the law will ever be paid a wage. Nobody will ever be paid by God for being good. Besides, you weren't. You never did it perfectly. You did it in your own strength. You just wasted time. You put in your time to collect a paycheck at the end of the day or the end of the week or the end of the month. But the truth is, you didn't earn anything. And the Father, being a just God and a holy God, and you're under a holy law, he will judge you and say, you did nothing. Apart from my son, you did nothing. The sin now is not committing adultery. The sin now is not committing murder. The sin now is not believing in Jesus. There's only one sin now, and it's very clear that the heart of God was always that God would justify sinners before the foundation of the world. Before he even created the world, he knew that you would all sin. He put the tree in the middle of the garden so you'd pass by it every day and be tempted. He knew you would sin. He didn't make you sin. You did that on your own. He told you not to sin, but you did that on your own. Here it is on his left hand, and he knew you would do that. That's why he put it there. He could have put it at the side. He could have hidden the tree. He put it right out there in the middle of the garden. Every day you walk by, I wonder why we can't eat that tree. I wonder why we can't eat that tree. What's wrong with this tree? Looks like all the other trees. I don't like that we can eat of all the trees except this one. I think I should eat of this one. I don't know why. I'm drawn to this tree. Woohoo! That was me. I was drawn always to what you weren't supposed to do. Whatever was forbidden, I wanted to do it. I could illustrate it from my life very easily. If there was a wrong way to do it, I did it. If somebody said, you can't do that, that just meant, wait till you're not looking and I'll go and do it. I'd do it in front of you, but you'd turn me in, so I'll just wait for you because you're an idiot, because I know you're going to eat of the tree too. But I'm just going to go and eat of the tree when no one else is looking, because I don't want to bother monkeying with somebody judging me and criticizing me and so on. Not that it bothers me, but it'll bother you. And I'm not interested. I'll just go and eat when you're not looking. Now, God hath killed that. Why? Because I never saw anybody. This is just my personal story. I never saw anybody in the world that loved me just the way I was. Nobody. Nobody. I had three fathers, but none of them were, you know, available. I had, you know, a mother, but she wasn't available either. And a grandmother, and so on and so on and so on. Doesn't matter. But when Jesus came along and loved me, I couldn't imagine. Why would you love me? I don't even love me. Love will break you down. But especially if you know how wicked and how unloved you should be. If anybody knew you as you really are, they would not love you. Could I have a show of hands? Go ahead, it's embarrassing, but you are not a lovable person. I'll just tell you right now, if I were to live with you and spend some time with you, I'd find out you're a tough person to live with. You're hard to live with. You're either critical and judgmental, or you're licentious and wicked, you know, whatever, but I'm gonna expose that in you sooner or later. And bring out your venom. Did you remember Jesus, it was said of Mary, when he comes, he will reveal the hearts of men. He'll bring out what's really in a man. And when Jesus came to the Pharisees, who thought they were the best in the world, they said, we didn't do anything wrong. And he said, oh yes, you seek to kill me. We do not. Did you see that? That was clever. You seek to kill me. You want to kill me. You are a devil. Doesn't that show how innocent they are? Did you see? Jesus was revealing their heart. They did seek to kill him. Why? Because man hates God's holiness. The standard is too high. Kids can even do that in your family. Mom, you're too hard on us. You ever said that? No. That's good. I know better. Ah, that's good. I love it. You can't say that. You can't say that. But you know what? Kids don't like to be, you know, watched over too closely. They like freedom, looseness. Well, I'll tell you what's even worse than that. God. Because when God watches over you with his left hand, you get away with nothing. He's right on you right away.
Hey!
That sacrifice I don't accept has one little blemish right there. Man, you can't bring anything to Jesus that's acceptable. Well, yeah, what about this one? Ah, I hate that. That was my best shot. No, I hate that. Well, what's wrong with it? They didn't have anything wrong with it. Your fingerprint was on it. Next time I'll try to do it without fingerprints. Anything you touch, God hates. Man at his best state is altogether. Man at his best state is altogether. Nothing. Nothing. God, at your best, that's your best. Your righteousness is a filthy rag to me, saith the Lord. He has a little different idea of what good and bad is. Other than that was my best shot. I thought that was awfully good. Remember Cain and Abel? Cain brought a beautiful gift. Remember Abel? A bloody thing. Here. Cain looked at that and he said, God, you're bringing that to him? That's a mess. Let's at least clean the blood up. No, just take it like this. And Cain knew his would be accepted because he had, pineapples and, beautiful wheat and whatever he had on there. He had some, I'm sure it was a golden plate. The other guy probably had a paper bag holding the thing. God, you stupid brother. Look what you're bringing to him. Bring something nice. And God accepted Abel, not because of the gift. Oh, he went and found a bloody, no, that's not why he accepted. He was a shepherd. Of course, he's going to bring a sheep. The reason he accepted it is because his heart trusted, not in his gift. He knew his brother would probably have the better gift. But he trusted, I'm not going to trust in my gift. I'm going to trust in the one who loves me. And God called that righteous. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteous. If Abraham did a good work, then the reward is in this world, but there's no reward in heaven. Not before God. No man will ever be righteous in the sight of God. So relax. You're not going to be righteous. You weren't. You haven't been. Secretly, you have a lot of secrets. Everybody has some secrets. Woohoo! Does anybody know you have secrets? I mean, things you're not supposed to be thinking that you're thinking, and then you're trying to cover them up so you can't think what you just thought. But still, God registered it up in heaven. Did you know that every time you say a word, it goes up into heaven? It doesn't just go on to outer space and disappear. And the astronauts fly through it. And they hear, oh, what he said last week. Here it is. No. No, no. Every word doesn't go away. Did you ever think about that? Where do your words go? You see, here they are. They're sounding, and then they just fall down 4 feet later or 50 yards. No. They go on into eternity, and God has every one of them. He knows all your thoughts, every synapsis on your brain, and when he judges someday, he won't just judge the outer deed, the appearance. He will judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. And therein, every man is guilty of trying to figure out what good and evil is, though God said don't. You all know, well, he gave me a conscience. He gave me a brain. Well, how'd you do with it? Did the best I could. Yeah, he wanted you to be perfect. Don't ever figure out what good and evil is. God will determine it. And all he's doing is protecting his right arm. The reason he said that was to say, do I not have the right to show mercy to whom I will? Okay. No. Not okay. Because that's the only way anyone will ever get there, is that right. He gave the law so no man could keep it, so all men would be guilty, so that every tongue would be stopped. Read Romans. Read Galatians. Read the whole Bible. The reason he gave the law was not that anyone would keep it, but so you'd be exposed as a non-keeper, so that then he could give you the free gift. The reason he gave you the law was so you'd fail. He wanted you to realize you couldn't do it, so that what? Then you'd take his free gift. Because he knew otherwise you wouldn't take the free gift that he offered. Put the free gift out there. But it says, it's got a little tag on it, for sinners only. I naturally just took it. As soon as I got into the palace, I was looking around, and wow, this place is really neat. I mean, I don't belong here. But I saw a little peanut bowl right there. And I just went over right away. I wonder if you're supposed to eat these things. I probably need to ask. I'm already eating the peanuts. And if I go to a fine home, I'm looking around for what I can take. They always have freebies. Did anybody notice that? I love weddings for that reason. There's always food there. The only thing I hate about it is you have to wait. But I'm the one that does the sermon. I'm the one that does the ceremony, so I hasten it. I get it going because I don't care about that couple. What I want is that food. Y'all are laughing. But the truth is, we're all like that. You can't change those spots. You can't make yourself other than that. That's the way you are, and God wants to humble you so that then he can love you for free. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. You know why you don't love much? You don't know how much you've been forgiven. You say, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. That doesn't mean anything to you. To me, it means a lot. I know exactly what it is to be a sinner. Sin means a lot to me. I know how to sin. I'm good at it. I'm treacherous, devious. A lot of you have hidden your sins from yourself. That's called repression. I may have suppressed some, but I never repressed. In other words, I knew when I was thinking something evil, I knew I was. When I was planning something, I knew that. I knew exactly what was in my heart. Murder, adultery, stealing, thievery, justifying myself, always trying to make myself look good, the hell with everyone else. I know exactly what was in my heart. And Jesus said, because you say that, because you confess your sins, and you see that my son was righteous, and you're going to let his righteousness account for you so you could come into my house for all eternity, because you believe that, I'm counting that for righteousness. Wow. So I'm walking in, I'm in the little house there, and says, God's calling you. I spit out my little peanuts. Come in here. Jim, bring that peanut bowl up here. Oh, sorry. I bring the peanut bowl. Sorry, God, I ate half your peanuts already. I said, Jim, you're so cute. I just love you so much. We got plenty of peanuts up here. How many know that God has stuff? When you're in God's house, everything's free. Hello? Are you aware of that? God is not like broke or his economy is in trouble like America. Don't worry about the leaders of your country. Don't worship them anyway. They're just sinners. They're just, you think if you were one of the believers in Obama, you are not going to be a believer for long. I'm not talking about us who, you know, we don't believe in all that nonsense. But he has a lot of followers that do believe. They believe in all the lies he said. Hey, if you have a credit card thing, we'll pay it for you. Hey, don't worry about the rent. We'll take care of that. You want to go to college? It'll be free. Okay, he made all those stupid promises. Well, I'm not mad at him for doing it. All he wanted, I know what he wanted. He's from Chicago, where I am. I know what he's like. He just wants to live in Hyde Park and get elected. Now that he's elected, he doesn't really care. And besides, the Republicans wanted him elected so they wouldn't get caught. Now he'll get caught. And the Democrats will go down the drain. Y'all understand how devious people are? How clever they are? Well, anyway, it's not important. But what is important is seek first the kingdom of God and give you everything else.